Okay, let's see. I'm trying to show my screen, but I'm not having too much success here. I'm kind of let's see, we have this other. Am I the I'm sorry. I'm simply an organizer, so I have to change myself to presenter. And then I'll be able to do that. All right. Hi, everybody. Should be coming on right away. Usually there's no hesitation in Aries, but we're still in the last degrees of Pisces and working towards the amazing confluence of energies, the Aries equinox. And just less, a bit less than 4 hours after that, the Aries full moon. So we have some really powerful energies. I'm very happy to see you here, and we're going to do some work together. I just before we begin, I want to say that in the chat box we have quite a few of our upcoming events. Now we're doing the pentagram, sacred pentagram approach to the full moons, and it will tell you here whether there is or is not a sacred pentagram approach. You just copy what's in the chat box. I think that'd be useful. Also, it's been sent to you probably via email. So, but it wouldn't hurt to copy it. And I just want to say also that when it comes to the 24th, it's Moria Remembrance Day, March 24th. He said, if you want to remember me, please, didn't say please, he says, remember me on the following day, March 24th. So what it says is this is for the Blue Rose group only, but certainly we, if you are interested, we are happy to have you join us at the usual YouTube link. I mean, for all of our broadcasts, we use a YouTube link, but let's see, this may be a, actually, this may be a webinar. Well, actually, we have two things. We have the broadcast and the webinar. And maybe, Joe Biel or Michael, you can tell me when that webinar is. Maybe it says already when that is. Okay, I'm going to go down here. March 24th, Blue Rose event only. And anyway, yeah, there's a webinar here on the 24th. Nope, that's the 23rd. Yeah. Do you have it?
Why don't you have people put something in the chat box, in the question box, if they'd like us to send them the registration link?
Okay. Well, yeah. And if you'd be so kind, just we do have a webinar there too, don't we? I believe on the 24th. I
Fourth,
think.
yes.
Yeah. I think so.
Yes.
And we have a broadcast as well. Is it or is it only a webinar?
It's a broadcast in the morning and a webinar in the
Okay.
later in the day.
Okay. Just kindly put in the webinar link if you can find it, because that's the harder one. The other one is always the same. Okay. Well, now that's a little bit of housekeeping out of the way, and here we are with the sign of all beginnings. I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. And you know, this is not just the lower mind we're talking about here. We're talking about appearing as a soul on the higher mental plane and governing all of our activities from within the personality from the higher mental plane. That would, of course, make us, if we could do that, you know, and we'll all do that someday, it would make us a third degree initiate. And DK, even in Letters on Occult Meditation, said we really have to learn how to center our consciousness within the higher mental plane. The interesting thing is that different signs are associated with different initiations in different ways. And I dealt a lot about this when in my a book on the egoic lotus, and also when going through the esoteric astrology book word for word, so to speak. But Aries is one of those signs related to being, and the monad comes into effective expression at this third degree, and Aries is the sign which leads us into the sense of being. So all of those things seem to come together. The monad, the higher mental plane, Aries, and the sense of being. So let's all work hard until we can really center ourselves within the higher mind, not only imaginatively, but actually effectively and at will. There's so much difference between being able to talk about a thing intellectually, which, you know, hopefully we can also do because you have to begin somewhere, and actually being able to carry the real experience forward. There's a big difference, and maybe we will only know that difference once we can actually do it. Now, I have a computer here. My hard drive has gone wild and seems to want to spin right out of the computer. So if anything happens along the way, just carry on, you know. Our group on the right-hand side will help us carry on in case, for some reason, I go blank due to an out-of-control hard drive. Okay, very fitting for Aries in a certain way. All right, now let's take a look at this Jafra illustration, with which we are quite familiar by this time. The factors here, you know, it's a rather exoteric presentation of the red of Mars as the ruler of Aries. And we have all of the warlike qualities going on here, including the volcanoes and, you know, the Agni Chaitans are connected, the fiery devas are connected with the eruption of volcanoes, and these are also connected with the sign Aries. We have here, you know, the blind seeker. Actually, the eyes of Aries are not too good, the eyes of the sheep, as it were. But later comes the possibility of seeing and being the oneness. You know, let's just say that India has, in the modern world, and when I say that, I mean the post-Atlantean world, has contributed so much to the identification as Brahman, as that which is pure being beyond any modification. It's the non-dualism approach, and Aries, being the first sign, is resolutely, at a certain point, non-dual. Of course, Mars has this great sense of fight and duality, but later we move into something much more akin to the realization of the non-dual nature of being. And in order to take the third degree, it requires this realization of the non-dual nature of being. We seem to get caught in the mind so often, and the mind, what they say, it's a good slave, but not a good master, you know. In other words, the mind is our instrument, but it is not, it must not master our approach to reality. So from Mars, as it shows here, I come forth and from the plane of mind I rule, the student of esotericism, the more advanced individual, the more spiritually inclined individual, moves into Mercury. And we have there the birthplace of ideas. It is said the jungle of illusion dissolves in flames and the path stands free. So Aries, when it is ruled by Mercury, destroys illusion in the fiery flame, and then we see clearly what being is. Finally, we have the hierarchical ruler, which is Uranus. Here they are depicted, you know, in their respective colors. There's other colors, of course, but at least these are somewhat the soul colors for Mercury and for Uranus, and maybe the personality color, well, it's hard to say, the personality color for Mars. You know, does Mars have an ultimate first ray monad? All right, that's a speculation. But Uranus is the home of electric fire. It has this incredible first ray monad connected with it. Its color would then not be violet, but for practical purposes, It rules the magical process and the ability to bring the plan to Earth. One of the places that you might go, and let's see if I can find it quickly here, when you want to see some of the effects of the planets when they are working at different stages of evolution, is this page on 332 of Esoteric Astrology. And basically we see that for the undeveloped man, Aries is very Martian, blind, undirected experience. And it's the activity of the instincts. But for the more advanced man, directed personality effort, working out of the Ajna Center, and it's really focused desire. And for the disciple and the initiate, especially as we move towards the initiate status, recognition and work with the divine plan, and it's really the application of will. So Aries will turn towards Capricorn. Aries is the beginning. Capricorn is the sign of periodic arresting when initiation occurs. But at the present time, though Capricorn is the ruler of the initiation process, one day fiery Aries will be the ruler of the initiation process. And finally, it rules the great seventh initiation of resurrection. Now we're heading exactly into that period of resurrection. The resurrection of the body of Jesus from the tomb is not the real resurrection, though it demonstrated the power of the spirit over form. The real resurrection is something entirely different and takes us up to the logoic level of being. And by that, well, by that logoic level, I mean this. Okay, that's where the resurrection takes us, as it were, to be in Shambhala and to sit at the right hand of the Father. Now, let's see where I am here. Be nice to know, wouldn't it? Okay, there we go. I see it. Okay, so Francis has some very good quotations and thoughts, and I'm just recommending that you go to Moria Federation, and you can the website for Moria Federation, and you can find his not only his illustrations but his commentary upon it. What I'll do is just say a little about this. The first, let's see if I can find this. This is the point, isn't it? Okay. There we go. All right, here's the text for Francis, and I think this is the first, let's see where I am here, image. There it is, yeah. Okay, well, we see a tremendous alignment here. This is his first illustration. Here is the personality infused by the solar angel, which we see hovering above in the higher mental realm. But beyond that is the monad itself, which worked with the solar angel to raise man up to his true estate. This is his first illustration, and what I'll do is read a little bit about what is said here. The word goes forth out from out the central point of the cardinal cross. Aries is on the cardinal cross, and it rules creation. You know, so we have a creation, then Cancer incarnation, then Libra legislation, and Capricorn initiation. So the whole creative process here is beginning in Aries, and you have the chance during this coming year to create a new pattern for yourself, one that is ever more spiritual and moving towards the year 2025. That word, that word takes the form of a winged cosmic sphere, the rarefied embodiment of a monad expressing the will to incarnate. The two really go together. The infusion of the solar angel from the Buddhic plane, at least from the Buddhic plane, and the extension of the monad, they cooperate together and produce a higher type of consciousness which supervises the lower man, which we so often misidentify as the real man. The soul, mirroring the noumenal form, you know, phenomena noumena, noumena is the pattern behind, the soul mirroring the noumenal form projects its own mental substance into phenomenal appearance, and this is the highest aspect of the threefold outer form, created so that the soul might once again enter the realm of time and space and thereby create its journey on the path of return. Interestingly enough, though, you know, time and space, they go up quite high on the cosmic planes, we might say. And even though we might think that we end illusion by overcoming the time and space component on the cosmic physical plane, time and space go far beyond that. They even go as far as what we call the great breath, which is the great timekeeper of all appearances and disappearances of universe. And that's certainly archetypal time. As far as space goes, I think it's simply self-reflection. This is a quotation that Francis has used often in his wonderful Secret Doctrine series, now appearing monthly, you know. Matter is the vehicle for the manifestation of soul on this plane of existence, and the soul is the vehicle on a higher plane for the manifestation of spirit. And these three are a trinity synthesized by life, we could call it life or being, which pervades them all. And that's from the Secret Doctrine. So we're looking at that, you know, that particular image. Let's see, where is that image again? I'm getting lost here, and maybe I'm not going to be able to find it. Okay, no, that's the image. Okay. But another way, says Francis, to see this image is as follows. And here he is. Okay. After eons of incarnation, the soul-infused personality has built the antikarana, which we are now, of course, in process of building, and now stands free of the three worlds of human endeavor. The soul responds and prepares to draw its shadow back into itself. Now we're talking about the period of the fourth initiation, which is preparing for the first resurrection. The divine intermediary is no longer required. Okay, that's our causal body, egoic lotus. The Son of God, who is the Son of Mind, dies. So the solar angel, in a way, having been absorbed significantly by the personality, wings its way back to the heart of the sun, or even to the central spiritual sun, depending. The veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The fourth initiation is passed, and then there comes the revelation of the Father. Aries has so much to do with the monad. There is a very important triangle, and it has Aries-Pluto-Shambhala. Aries-Pluto-Shambhala. And with the mention of Shambhala comes, of course, the monad, in which each monad inheres within Shambhala. So the highest aspect of ourself is, in a sense, a resident of Shambhala. The Great Bear is involved in this because it's a Ray 1 constellation. And I just want to point something out in this illustration. It's quite interesting. Notice the Great Bear right here, or the Dipper part of the Great Bear, and notice how close we are, in a sense, to the first and the second star within the Great Bear. This is Al-Kaid or Benet Nash, this first one, and this is a Misar. You know, it's a double star, actually. And here is the first ray star, Al-Kaid and Benet Nash, the different names for the same star, is the first ray. So we definitely see the monadic influence coming here through Aries. And when Aries is powerful in the chart of someone who can withstand it, then the monad begins to be a viable factor, and we begin to be able to understand the nature of being. I can see, you know, that I'm only going to have so much time to really read this a bit. I think what I'll do here, Aries is, as expected, might be expected, closely connected with the Great Bear. You know, there's a powerful first ray going on there, Aries, Libra, and Great Bear, but peculiarly so with one of the stars of the pointers, and that is Merak, and actually it's a sixth ray star. These point to the pole star, and which is at this time a major star of direction. And if I were to look at where Merak is, here it is. This is it. Okay. And this is the one off the chart here is Polaris, I guess. But this is a star with which Aries is definitely connected. The way this illustration is created, there's a strong connection between the first and the second ray. Okay, going on just a little more, a little bit more. So direction, will, purpose, and plan are all connected with the solar logos and with his evolutionary undertakings in connection with the many lives manifesting in the vehicle of expression, which we call the solar system. All these respond to the influence of the first ray. Aries is the major first ray constellation, we should note at this time anyway, which is the energy of divine embodied will, esoterically described as, I love this quote, unavoidable directed purpose. Well, here and here, maybe I'll sum up as Francis quotes some keynotes of the sign Aries, which we will want to keep in mind as we have our meditation, and which we will want to keep in mind in the days ahead as we really begin to feel this Aries energy and find a way to express it on behalf of manifesting the divine plan in our own little lives, we might say. Okay, the keynotes of this sign are four in number, all conveying the same idea. They can be expressed in the following four injunctions, which are given symbolically to the incarnating soul. So think about this and how it may relate to you at this particular time of your development. Every year we have the chance of building in certain energies from all 12 signs of the zodiac. So whether you have strong Aries in your astrological chart or charts, you'll be working at building this energy in and can feel it and can use it, and it becomes part of your causal body. Aries, express the will to be and do. So, you know, this the will to be and the will to action. Both are found especially in this sign, and if you study Aries people, you will note how powerful this is. What DK has told us is no matter what your ray may be, when you are in the Aries period or born under the sign Aries, it will always strengthen the will, he says. Just that first ray is coming in through the sign itself, whether your ray chart reflects that or not. Number two, unfold the power to manifest, because there are two rays particularly coming through Aries, the first and seventh, and they both have a lot to do with manifesting the archetype on the physical plane. This one, of course, is very Martian. Enter into battle for the Lord. And that can be done at a drop of the hat. But who is the Lord anyway? You know, the Lord at first has to be not your personality, often is, but the soul, and then something even higher within your nature, the monad and the planetary logos. And four, arrive at unity through effort. So the oneness of Aries eventually is achieved, but through struggle. Okay, so here are some words that are given continuously: creation, being, activity, strife, synthesis. They have to be pondered, right? These are the nature of the Lord of the first constellation and enable him to influence our planet to these results. And notice that constellations have lords, they have rulers. They're not simply asterisms in the sky that from a certain point of view, they look like they're together, but they're not really together. Actually, they are together. They are solar logoi who have aggregated together and are under the rulership of a lord of a constellation. So, you know, coming into incarnation, let form again be sought, because it always means the beginning, that plunge into matter. Every birth is an Aries event. Every initiation is an Aries event, because you're plunging into the new. And for the initiate, I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. Well, I think I will not really have time to do more here than this, but to notice the three aspects of the man. It's all guided from the monad through the soul and into the personality. And, you know, this shows us an alignment all the way from the highest spirit to the lowest matter. And we learn that spirit is matter, matter is spirit. If you're ever going to learn that, Aries is a great sign in which to learn it. And Francis has more to say, but, you know, you can... I recommend that you read that on the Makara website. And I think one of our helpers on the side here, BL, has usually put in where you can find that, but generally on the Makara website. There's all kinds of excellent there's all kinds of excellent quotations going on here. And if you really want to get into it, in a way that is exhaustive and maybe exhausting, like I say, the commentary that I've worked on word for word with esoteric astrology will take you in pretty deeply. And then when you add to that the illustrations from Francis and also from Dwayne Carpenter, if I can, I'm always, here it is. This is an important one. And let's see, I think you can, this is from Dwayne, okay. And it shows you some of the important rays that are found here. Notice the energetic quality of how the ram really looks. I hear the sound of a typing going on. Okay, now I don't hear it anymore, good. All right. So the sun is shining, and the colors are there. This is the sacrificial lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The first ray in red, the seventh ray in the seventh ray Uranus in violet, and the second ray Mercury. So basically, what we're looking at, in a way, at least, are the colors of Mars, the colors of violet, and then also of Mercury. I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. And you can see, you know, the type of light that is found in Aries. And I think we'll be dealing with that in just a little while. If you want to really find where that goes, I believe it's in Esoteric Astrology on page, 329, something like that. Aries, the light of life itself. This is a dim point of light found at the center of the cycle of manifestation, faint and flickering. It is the searchlight of the Logos, seeking that which can be used for divine expression, for the creative process. Later, of course, it's got to be a blazing light, because the sun is exalted in this sign. Okay, well, there's a lot to learn, and the main thing is, you know, what will we apply to our developing life of discipleship? That is the main factor, because we can't learn it all, we can't know it all, but what we can do is select certain things from each sign, and especially from those signs which are in our chart, because that will dictate, you know, what it is we have to do in this particular life, and learn to apply them in a spiritual way which really advances the divine plan. Probably every one of us can look back on our lives and say, okay, this is my moon sign, this is my sun sign, this is my rising sign. I've either been used by or have used these energies to advance the divine plan in my life, or I haven't, you know. So, you know, study that carefully about how these energies actually manifest and make you a worker in the divine plan. All right, well, here we are in the meditation, and now I think we'll go on. We're in days of preparation, but we're quite close. You know, this is a day, I suppose you might say, of aspiration, dedication, etc. We're entering that day of dedication. The mind has to be dedicated. And then when the energy descends, we safeguard it, we hold it, and we guard it, yes. And so that it can make a very, very deep impression upon us, so that as we begin to distribute these rays and these signs, we will be well equipped to do so. All right. So now let us move forward into this meditation. You know, the academics are there, but the academics are not the most important thing. They are important. They're very important. But the experience of the energy, the actual detecting of the energy, the actual ability to differentiate this energy from other energies and apply this energy as a force in life in a directed way, these are the important things. Okay. So, we just enter the silence a little bit together. Some, maybe 60-something of us here, just entered the silence. And we are coming together in a single field of consciousness. But each one of us, to really do that, we have to withdraw our consciousness from the personality and realize that the personality is simply instrumental to our higher being, our higher consciousness, our higher intentions. It's external, in a way, to what we really are. And what we really are, or at least our next phase of growing reality about our identity, is the soul. And so as we withdraw from thinking that the outer person, including the emotions and lower mind, is what we are, we find ourselves rather in this imagined field of light, love, and power. As if we are surrounded by soul light and soul love and soul sacrificial will. Really, what we are has its place in the jewel in the lotus. We really have to learn how to drop the lesser identification, which is so often with us, and enter into the next higher identification. And then we really find the group when we do that. So it's as if we can form a group soul, a group identity, a group being, however separated we may be. geographically. Because we really do come together, you see, at these meditations, and we now, you know, work over a system of the internet, but DK has his own internet, and he reaches us, doesn't he? And we can reach each other and reach others whom we may wish to assist or influence. So we unite with the men and women of goodwill, imaginatively at least, in every country. It's amazing how people so impoverished are really helping those they can reach. It's just very heartening. You see it, you know. And so we wish to strengthen the men and women of goodwill wherever they may be found. They're glowing, as it were, with a brighter light than the average non-aspiring human being. That consists, or the masses consists of these non-aspiring people, at least non-aspiring towards their higher spiritual possibilities, which they will come to know about in time. And then we also search out there with our feeling and our imagination towards brighter lights in every country. Members of the new group of world servers. They've gone a bit beyond. They're really committed in every country. And we strengthen them with our thought. We always have to work at strengthening the hands of the world servers. A very important group now and for the future. And then in a big effort of the imagination, we imagine ourselves merging with the soul, the consciousness, the being of all humanity, whether in the personality nature, people are good, bad, or indifferent. As souls, there is no evil. And we imagine ourselves merging with all within the one soul of humanity. Everywhere and both in incarnation and out of incarnation. DK said, don't forget your group brothers and sisters who have passed beyond the veil. They're still working with you. And so somehow in this realization of the soul of humanity, we work at realizing, we come to realize there is no my soul or thy soul. We don't use that thought anymore, as it tells us in Rule 5 of the Rays and Initiations, no my soul or thy soul, only the soul, the one consciousness of humanity. We have to work at that. It's a kind of spiritual intimacy and a higher level of identification than maybe we are used to expressing. No matter whom you meet, whom you encounter, wherever, whenever, it's all one soul. But it takes some work to refine that type of perception, or rather a perception is the word. And then we say the mantra, then, since there is no my soul or thy soul, we realize naught is but me. That's a very subtle thing, but okay. It can grow in strength. Suddenly changing from the little me to the great and pervasive me or I, not is, but me. And this will take us into, you know, the higher worlds, even beyond what we normally call the soul, into the real soul. We need the Antikarana for that. We're building that. There's a connection between the intuition and the astral body. We try to imagine that. And there's a place from which we can launch our projection into the higher worlds of the spiritual triad, where the master's consciousness is found around the area of the mental unit. There grows a pool of retained energies. Where do they come from? They come from the soul, from the egoic lotus, and we can visualize this in many ways, but here is an image that can help. So into this pool of retained energies, we draw the energies of the knowledge petals. We imagine that. And from the love petals, we draw in the energy of soul love into the pool of retained energies. And from the sacrifice petals, we draw in that quality of sacrifice, sacrificial will. And from the synthesis petals, even though they may be slowly unfolding, we draw in this quality of synthesis of perceived oneness. And finally, from the jewel and the lotus itself, we draw in the energy of the monadic presence, the monadic will, and you know, in doing this, we are becoming the soul-infused personality. So just dwell for a moment on these retained energies around your mental unit on the highest level of the concrete mind. You're going to use that as a platform. And then we're going to visualize the rainbow bridge, you know, extending at least imaginatively into the triad, and its point of projection will be the mental plane, but it extends even below because it reaches into the astral and etheric levels. But we will project by will that line of light toward the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad, not really reaching them, but towards them. And as we do that, our abstract mind, our intuition, our spiritual will grow, and even toward the monad itself, where pure being will be found. So instead of using the soul ray color and the personality ray color that we would do when working on this by ourselves, we will use indigo. Indigo, the second ray color, and we will inwardly pronounce the words, "I see the greatest light." We'll outwardly the Om, and inwardly projecting from that point of tension with the pooled energies surrounding, "I see the greatest light." So let's do that and attempt to connect as a group with the still higher spaces which maybe can enter and guide us. So there will be a coming forth of higher energies towards our projection. "I see the greatest light." And ultimately, this light for us is the unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala, which our monad somewhat possesses, and which increasingly, as we work with the will and with pure being, we will experience. We salute our elder brothers, the masters of the wisdom, whose consciousness is always within the spiritual triad capable of being there at any point and at least applying towards monadic consciousness. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all Masters. Salutations to the triangle of masters with whom we most closely work, Master Moria, KH, and DK. Salutations to the Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, whose ashram is most responsible for preparing the way for the reappearance of the Christ. Salutations to the Master Jwal Kul, who trains so many disciples for the earlier initiations, and who is the messenger of the Masters at this time. Salutations to your own master as you know him to be or conceive him to be. Salutations to the entire planetary hierarchy. With whom we seek to cooperate. And so, at the moment we find ourselves capable of receiving higher impression, intending to cooperate with the great ones, but we also open ourselves, at least imaginatively, to the center where the will of God is known, our thought rises to that supreme point of tension on our planet, Shambhala. And we approach it together as a group soul, thereby becoming more and more impressed by the divine purpose and the divine will. So a long, silent om, opening ourselves to that impression, which will make us workers with the will of God, even in our own limited situations. And so perhaps some little influence of this great will can come through our spiritual will and through the will of the soul and affect the personality will so that it is transformed into a selfless instrument and we can live our lives under the divine will. Because more and more we have to know what that will is, even though DK tells us we understand so little. But more and more, especially as the great conclave approaches, we have to understand what it is the will of God would have us do individually and in our groups. Because the forces of opposition are very strong and we need together this divine will, some aspect of it, to do what we must do inwardly to hold off that attack which does not want to see humanity enter into its spiritual birthright in the Aquarian age. Now we're going to enter the indigo sphere. We imagine the path of golden light leading into the indigo sphere. There we will, as it were, find the consciousness of Master DK and become, in our studies of the energies available, we will become outposts of his consciousness and understand more deeply the energies that we must be impressed by and which we must wield. So just imagine that we all pull together in a brilliant point of being, of will, of love, of light, a point hovering above the golden pathway. And that pathway will give us entree into the indigo disc, kind of replication of the blue logos, as the golden path shortens and shortens and shortens until we imagine ourselves within the indigo sphere. And the consciousness of Master DK supports our consciousness as we think about the sources that we must be impressed by and which we must draw upon and express. We will be encountering, imaginatively at least, Mars, the exoteric ruler, giving us fortitude and the will to fight for a high ideal. That Martian energy is very much here. It's coming. And even the last decanate of Pisces, interestingly, is ruled by Mars. And we will encounter Mercury, the esoteric ruler, conveying the power to apprehend the archetypal idea and destroy illusion through a fiery mental process so that we really can see clearly, see the archetype clearly. And we will encounter Uranus, the hierarchical ruler, the home of electric fire, conveying the electric fire of pure will for the ultimate vivification of the entire human energy system through its linking to the world of being. World of being, very much the monadic plane, the logoic plane. These are the three encounters that we will make, and that of the solar logos, you know, imaginatively, but imagination is the way to access the available energies. So let us work at first with Mars. This is quite a non-sacred planet at the moment, but it's going to be tamed by the Earth eventually, just the way Earth is tamed by Venus. So it's the planet of the warrior. And what do we need in our groups? Do we need its spiritual courage? Do we need its undying fiery aspiration towards a fusion with the divine and for the successful manifestation of the divine ideal embodied in the divine plan? Yes, we need these qualities. So let's just imagine from Mars, the internality of Mars, not the exoteric planet, you know, that we are imbued by these qualities into our groups and into us as a group. The power of Mars flows, spiritual courage. We absorb it. Undying fiery aspiration for fusion with the higher worlds. We absorb that. And the ability to reach the divine ideal and to bring it down and to fight for its manifestation we absorb that. We need that in our groups. We need that individually. You can study those words and the qualities they stand for, and over the next days you can act as if Mars is very present. But since we are aspirants and disciples, it won't be just frictional, combative, separative Mars. It will be a higher type of Mars, giving us power with the ideal. So So let's imagine that we are absorbing this Martian energy. Like a real energy, you know, not just an intellectual concept. And I'll use a red note here as we sound the Om, absorbing this Martian energy. There's ray 6 in it, there's ray 1 in it. And we really try to breathe it in on the Om. Oh. Master DK said, see that you battle. So the conflict between the dweller and the angel is not over yet. We have to be strong enough to battle in the right way. Now our attention shifts to Mercury, the planet, let's call it, of transcendental mind, the true intuition. And it can stimulate the intuitive understanding of imminent developments within the precipitating divine plan. It can enter the birthplace of ideas. Not all ideas are due to manifest at the same time and in the same space, but certain ideas are meant to come through as part of the divine plan now. What are they? And if we learn that peace and sharing and cleanliness are three great requirements for the reappearance of the Christ, we know that archetypes connected with those qualities are active now. And Mercury is intuiting them and finding intelligent ways of bringing them into manifestation. The transmitter of the new ideas whose time has come. And do we touch those archetypes? Can we move beyond illusion? Can we burn up the jungle of illusion and see all those misinterpretations dissolve in flames so that the path stands clear and free? So we'll use the note E, it's a yellow note. And we'll see the qualities of higher mind, of transcendental mind, flowing into the individuals that we are and also into the group which we are and the groups of which we are part, so we can really begin to understand and intuit the divine plan, which is not so easy to see. three times the Om as we see that yellow flow of energy entering, bringing in the Buddhi, the pure reason, the straight knowledge, the transcendental mind. That's what we see entering. If I come forth from the plane of mind, I have to have higher understanding so that I, we, the group, can rule the lower energies more wisely. So the ideas may begin to flash over the next few days, and be prepared to intuitively see the new. Now, on to Uranus. It's actually kind of a turquoise colored planet, interestingly blending the third and the second rays, but interiorly, monadically, the first ray. So we ponder on magical Uranus, the great father Uranus, the home of electric fire Uranus. Wherever it says home, you know monadic powers are involved. It's the planet of the New Age, bestowing the inspiration, for a total transformation and renewal of the individual and the group personality. Everything will change because Uranus is the archetype. Whereas Mercury gives us sight and understanding of the archetype. Through Uranus, we are infused with the archetype. We realize, in a sense, we are the archetype. So, it also rules the final burning ground. Very high initiation. We can at least know about it, the final burning ground, and the real overcoming of illusion of time and space, establishing synthesis. That's what a first ray monad will do, and our Earth is also that. A first ray monad, we will have that relation with Uranus. So, you know, behold, I make all things new. Uranus is the new. But of course, it's the archetype, ancient, that when it appears, appears as the new. Up on the monadic plane and the logoic plane are the archetypes. And Uranus brings them into expression. We need the new, every one of us. Aries, the sign of the new, the first ray of Aries, the major ray. Uranus, the hierarchical ruler, conveying the new, and Uranus, the first ray monad, expressing now through the ray of the new age, the seventh ray. What a lineup. So let's individually and in our groups see that violet, red energy entering, making it possible for us to throw away our inadequate conditioning and live more according to the will intended archetype. And I'll use the note B, kind of a violet note for Uranus at this time, as we feel the absorption. It's electric fire. We have a long way to go before even solar fire can be wisely expressed in our lives, but some little hint these days of electric fire can condition ourselves, our groups, so we really can begin to conform to the divine will, because in a flash, as a flash of lightning in the night sky, that will is revealed. And we can bring in the new heaven and the new earth accordingly. So these are our encounters. These are the energies available during the next several days, building towards that powerful moment of the full moon itself, of Mars, of Mercury, of Uranus, and of course, all of it is pervaded by the great solar logos, the consuming fire of love, the sun aspect, the great heart center of a local cosmic logos, all of it. We're all units of love. And the great sun pervades all the great solar logos. Try to imagine it. Not just the sun in the sky, but be reminded of the presence of the solar logos. Pervading all, every one of us has his monad finding a home within the sun. That is, within the solar logos at this time. And with an om on the second ray, blue note, a G, will see that pervading presence of the solar logos in all things, in all planets, for all beings in our solar system. Oh. touching especially your heart center, your heart and the head center, your egoic lotus, and even the 12-fold monad. We're seeking to enter intimately into the available energies. And the forces which will restore the divine plan, the forces of restoration in Aries, the forces of resurrection. So let us, in anticipation of the actual moment of the full moon, meditate upon the energies pouring forth from this great initiatory constellation. What does it mean in our life, in our groups? How will our life change if this great mantra is effective? And these powerful rays of initiation, rays 1 and 7, express through us, I come forth. Who is the I? The monad, isn't it? I come forth, and from the plane of mind, of higher mind, within the jewel and the lotus which I form, I rule. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. Some moments of silence as we contemplate that powerful mantra, building in intensity towards the actual full moon. I come forth. And from the plane of mind, I rule. I, the monad, come forth, extending myself onto the plane of higher mind, and from that point, within the jewel, I rule all things below. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. There can be a tremendous infusion of strength. It's not that we seek to dominate others at all. First, we have to be master of ourselves, and through the monadic will, we can do that. The monadic will, as it transforms itself into soul will, and as it transforms itself into an enlightened personal will, we can do that. A great power is available at this time. And is needed at this time. Uranus is the highest ruler here, and it changes all conditions. We live in a world of conditions, so many of them out of harmony with the divine pattern and plan. Through Uranus can come the impression, even the imposition of the archetype, which from the world of being is intended. And we can dominate those lesser conditions within our own energy system and within our own environment, and therefore bring forth our true monadic name, which is part of the great name that resounds through all of us. So let there be a great infusion of power that allows us to impress the archetype by means of the divine plan. Let's really use these energies, detecting them, feeling them, receiving them, applying them. And having as a group, an esoteric group in the world, a rebirth, we have the equinox and the full moon so close to each other, it's very unusual, and we can have a rebirth in strength in the way we conduct our cooperation with hierarchy. And as representatives of the divine plan. From the one about whom naught may be said, and through his heart in the head center, in which Aries is a constellation, and through the Great Bear, the seven head centers of the one about whom naught may be said, as we are told, and through our own local cosmic logos, in which our solar logos is a great heart center, and from the solar logos through Mars, through Mercury, through Uranus and into our monadic nature, which comes forth and rules from the plane of mind via the jewel in the lotus, which it has participated in creating. And into every soul within hierarchy, and into our head centers, to the base of the spine, and rising again, purpose and will and purpose. The energy at this time flows. Cosmic energies, really. And so as a group, we really seek to be aware, to receive, to utilize, to express a new beginning, making ourselves much more useful as a group to the hierarchy as we approach the great conclave. Sending the energy of Aries into the world wherever new beginnings are needed. In so many places they are, because the old outworn methods just are not serving. So where might it be? Where would you direct this Aries energy and its ruling planets and its rays? Where would you direct it? And you can spend the next few days directing that energy where it needs to be directed, according to your estimation. Wherever you have localized the need, let us sound an om and see the energy directed. Throughout the world, it is needed. This energy of Aries, largely first ray, but also the lamb slain from the foundations of the world, the second ray sacrificial lamb, and the great principle of creative activity, the third ray, it contains them all. So let's look for renewal, friends, as we sound together the great invocation. And work over the next days really to make this an important point. Working with the forces of restoration to restore the plan on Earth. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on Earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, Let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, a lot lies ahead, and this is just the beginning. We continue with our work in the Sacred Pentagram approach to Aries. Tomorrow, at least tomorrow here at 8:10 GMT, we will be beginning the ingress meditation into Aries. The time of that is exactly 9:58 p.m. GMT. And then at midnight, GMT, we will begin the actual full moon broadcast for the exact moment of the full moon, the time of which is 1:42 and 44 seconds a.m. GMT. So some of us will be up at night, you know. But he said, do your best to honor that moment when the door opens, because it doesn't open that way at any other time. So if we have to lose a little sleep, you know, to forego peace, to forfeit rest, and then the stress of pain, to lose myself and find myself, thus entering into peace. You know, from the mantra of aspiration of the disciple. So we'll be seeing you, many of you, I suspect, tomorrow. Very happy you've joined us tonight here anyway, and in different times, other places. And in less than 24 hours, we'll be working with you to bring in the actual Aries energy at the equinox. And then not long after that at all, we'll be working with the exact moment of the full moon. What a powerhouse of a time. So let's really use these things. Thank you for being here. Lots of love and many blessings from Tuya and myself, and from all the workers, you know, with the Moria Federation and the University of the Seven Rays and the Blue Rose Sisterhood. Well, we're all working at it, aren't we? So we all love each other. Let's God bless us, everyone, and we all love each other, so that's what we'll concentrate upon. All the best, and we'll see you soon. We'll have this up pretty soon, maybe on Makara, I think, and so you can use it maybe ahead of time if you would like, and let people know, let your friends know about our coming broadcasts. See you soon.